It's another deadline day. So, says the DUP First Minister, Peter Robinson, there are certainly signs that the DUP and Sinn Féin are moving towards a deal, but you can bet there will be a few more twists and turns in the days ahead. Peter Robinson had a go at other parties yesterday, and it was pretty clear who he was talking about.
There are those who are sitting on the sidelines. We know who they are. They are the whingers, the wreckers, the political snipers who look for failure, who hope for failure, so that they might personally or from a party point of view benefit. It will not benefit anybody if in aggrandising themselves they destroy our process here in Northern Ireland. There are people, quite clearly, who think that they will have some advantage if the process breaks down. To use a recently quoted phrase, they are on the wrong side of history if they think that it's advantageous to bring this process down.
That followed earlier comments from the Sinn Féin Deputy First Minister, Martin McGuinness.
You just find that some parties can't get out the door quick enough to say something which negatively feeds into what we're trying to do. We haven't done that. I don't think the DUP have done that. But I do think all our parties have done it, and I think that that is not conducive to getting a good outcome.
I wonder who Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness were talking about. Nesbitt. Was it Nesbitt? I don't know. You decide. Mr. Nesbitt himself, the Ulster Unionist Party leader, he went on the attack himself yesterday.
I note Sinn Féin attacked us yesterday, and the DUP are attacking us today. I think that tells you all you need to know about the fact that Peter and Martin are back in each other's arms politically, and also our firm and our principled stand is irritating the two big parties who are clearly busting to do a side deal at Stormont Castle.
Mr. Nesbitt also aimed comments at the DUP.
He used the word snipers.
Political snipers.
Political snipers. This from a man whose party stood 1 mile down Prince of Wales Avenue, on the far side of the barriers, crying Lundy and traitor at the party who got these institutions up and running and are fighting hard to keep them up and running and doing so in the five-party talks at Stormont House, not the two-party carve-up that he's engaged in at the castle.
So it's very much a political war at the moment. Mr. Nesbitt also had a swipe at the Alliance Party.
I think at this stage you should not anticipate that it's either a five-party deal or no deal. It could be a two-party deal. It could very well be a three-party deal, because I think the Alliance are willing to sell their souls on par. So it could be a three-party deal. It might even be a four-party deal, because I'm not going to speak for the SDLP. But all I would say is you don't have to bet your house on five or none.
So, leader of the Alliance Party, David Ford, with us this morning. Mike Nesbitt says you're willing to sell your souls.
Well, Mike may know things about selling souls, but the Alliance record is anything but selling our souls. The Alliance record is ensuring that what we've done is done in the interests of everyone in Northern Ireland. That's the basis, for example, on which we took the Department of Justice 5 years ago, on the basis of an agreed programme which would move on essential reforms to the justice system. It wasn't a matter of getting power because, frankly, we could have had an Alliance Justice Minister about a year earlier. It took about another year to get the agreement that we would do the job in the right way and we would be backed by the DUP and Sinn Féin in doing that. But of course, the Ulster Unionists didn't like that. They didn't accept it. They didn't want justice to be devolved. And they seem to engage in petty sniping on pretty nearly every occasion they get.
It's going to be really interesting, actually, what the public mood is to all of this political infighting now between you all at Stormont.
Well, hold on. There's no political infighting between us all. I'm on radio this morning doing a measured response to the fact that other people went out publicly yesterday. Up to now, Alliance has been doing its work in the talks process, the five parties and the two governments. We've put forward our proposals. We've sought to discuss them with others who've been willing to have constructive discussions. We haven't been rushing out to the media. and we certainly haven't been attacking other people.
So out came Peter Robinson to criticise Mike Nesbitt yesterday. Out came Martin McGuinness to criticise Mike Nesbitt yesterday. Out came Mike Nesbitt yesterday to criticise Peter Robinson and the Alliance Party yesterday.
And
I do wonder, and again, I will bang on about it again, probably for about the 10th day in a row. I do wonder for those people, you know, some working class man or woman sitting today in excruciating pain because he's sitting on a hospital waiting list and he's looking to the politicians to prioritise him, to work really hard for him. And he looks and what does he find at Stormont? They're all arguing with each other, scoring points against each other rather than sorting out his operation. That's what's happening at the minute, isn't it?
Well, sorry, Stephen, don't keep saying they're all fighting with each other because they're not all fighting with each other. Some of us are engaged in constructive discussions. Some of us, for example, have put forward practical proposals for addressing financial difficulties, which is part of what affects the health service. And whilst I certainly accept health is important and people in particular health needs will see that, let's not forget that we also need to do things like protect the public through the justice system, provide opportunities for growing the economy and getting people out of poverty by the work that Stephen Farrell is doing in employment and learning. So there's a range of positive work being done. We're putting forward ideas. For example, we've put a paper, the only party that's put a paper, as I think at this stage, around the Implementation and Reconciliation Group, as to how we draw together the threads of what's being done to ensure that we put the past behind us and we actually start to reconcile this community so that we can concentrate on the important issues of providing public services and growing the economy.
So how close are we to a deal, David?
The answer is, I don't know. We have made some progress, certainly in the last week or so, around issues of the past. As Minister of Justice, because my department's heavily involved, I've done a lot of work around the Historical Investigations Unit, and my party colleagues have been supporting that in discussions with others as we seek to make it work.
And what progress have you made with that?
Well, I'm not going to go into the detail of it, but I'm just saying progress has been made. There has been movement, and there's been a number of understandings reached.
You can give us a sense. You can give us a sense where improvement's been made to give a little bit of optimism.
No, sorry, I'm giving you a sense that improvement has been made, but I'm sorry, I'm not, in the context of confidential discussions, going to rush out and tell the media everything that's going on, because it's well proven that that's what creates difficulties. We are making progress, but there is work still to be done. We haven't made much progress that I see around the issues of budget and welfare reform, and we have not made as much progress as we should have done, and really this week we didn't put as much effort as we should have done into addressing paramilitarism and ending that, because when you talk about the working class person sitting in pain, or frankly the middle class person sitting in pain, there's also the pain of the utter influence that some organisations have way beyond any democratic mandate, and that has to be addressed. We have to, once and for all, get rid of that problem.
How are they going to sort out paramilitarism in 2 weeks when one party involved in the talks, namely Sinn Féin, doesn't even agree that the IRA exists? How is that going to be sorted out in 10 days?
Well, what Sinn Féin maintain, as opposed to what others maintain about the existence of the IRA, and I can only go on the assessment which is provided by the Chief Constable, is not the key issue to addressing the problem. The issue has to be how we move away from any concept of paramilitarism. The IRA isn't the only group we have to worry about. We've seen the effects of unionist groups as well. The UVF, the UDA, the various offshoots have created mayhem for ordinary working class people just as much as is being done by Republican groups. So let's not suggest that it's simply an issue as to whether Sinn Féin says the IRA exists or not.
There's no one else, denying that the UDA, UVF exist. Sinn Féin is denying the IRA exists, and it seems to be an insurmountable issue, this.
It's not an insurmountable issue. It's only an insurmountable issue if people elevate it to being the most important issue. I don't particularly think that the matter is what Sinn Féin say at the moment. What I think is the matter is that 17 years after people voted yes in the Good Friday referendum, we haven't got rid of paramilitarism. We moved so far along the road. We had the IMC doing good reports on the state of paramilitary organisations, but in recent years people have taken their eye off the ball and we haven't continued the progress that was made in the years immediately after 1998.
Peter Robinson's been hinting at new moves on welfare reform involving the tax credits issue, David. Is a compensation plan on tax credits planned?
Well, part of the issue, of course, is we don't know what's happening about tax credits. The Secretary of State certainly wasn't going to tell us this week as to what plans the Chancellor had to address the tax credits issue after the House of Lords overturned his original proposals. And that clearly is an issue, but it's also an issue which is not technically devolved. So what we have to do is be realistic about what we can do. We agreed a package of measures which were costing over £90 million a year at Stormont House last December to protect people's individual benefits. But we also need to protect public services as well. And that means that we cannot transfer all the money in the Northern Ireland budget into welfare payments. One of the key things is to get people off welfare and into work.
David,
that's one of the best ways we can help them.
David, let me get a response from you to Sam McBride's tweet last night. He's the political editor to the newsletter. And he said, Stormont rumour that David Ford is to get a peerage and Alliance will keep the Justice Ministry if they support the deal. Is that true?
You're not up to date with Twitter because I have my attention drawn to that this morning and I've already tweeted my reply to Sam.
Well, could you...
If you want to read it, I'll quote it to you.
Well, don't read a tweet. Just tell me what you think.
Well, for me to Sam, it says, wake up, Sam. Trimble offered me a peerage 10 years ago. Top secret, I refused the offer. If people can spread these kind of rumours...
Are you going to refuse it again?
You can... Well, I could only refuse it again if an offer was made and no offer has been made.
If an offer is made, would you refuse it?
Well, Stephen, you are taking Stormont speculation, which is clearly being inspired by somebody malicious. And you did hear one party leader suggesting that supposedly there was going to be an alliance deal with the DUP and Sinn Féin. You might just speculate where that kind of rumour might have emerged.
And you can rule out the speculation immediately by saying, look, if you were to be offered a peerage, you would turn it down again. I'm only asking, yes or no, would you turn it down or would you take it?
The concept that I would be offered a peerage and would accept a peerage in order to do something which was not in the interest of Northern Ireland is utterly laughable, utterly ridiculous. The Alliance record is that we have done the work for the good of Northern Ireland, and that has been what has motivated Alliance right through.
Yeah,
That's why we took on the Justice Ministry with the arrangements in place to ensure that we could deliver.
But David, it would be ludicrous
so
for
I
me
think
to...
You can take, I think you can take that. That's a no, Stephen.
No, it would be ludicrous of me to suggest a question around would you take a peerage if it was to the disadvantage of Northern Ireland, which is not what I asked. I've asked if you're offered a peerage this time, given the fact that you turned it down last time, would you take it this time?
Stephen, I'm not going to be offered a peerage to do a deal over welfare. And if I were offered a peerage to do a deal over welfare, I thought I'd made it absolutely clear I wouldn't take it. I'm interested in the welfare of Northern Ireland, not fancy titles.
Okay, David Ford, thank you very much indeed. Morning to you. Thanks for coming on, David. Alex in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
No, Stephen, I just listened to your comments about, and almost I came across a criticism of parties that are fighting among themselves, that you should all fighting among yourselves. I mean, the thing is, the way things were working before wasn't right. Things weren't working. Decisions weren't being made. So if the parties are going in there, they're just sitting around a table, all cosy and all in agreement, and also, we'll just get things back to the way it were. That's no use.
Do people want a deal to get the Assembly back on track or not?
They want a deal, but I think they need a deal that works. The deal we had before didn't work. We need a form of an opposition. We need basically the courage to make big decisions. The main parties, the Sinn Féin and the DUP, were great when it came to handing out money. But the difficult decision has to be. We have a report on healthcare, the Donaldson report. It's been shelved. And it's quite clear with too many hospitals. And yet nobody's got the courage to do anything about it. Education, we have, I think, it's a 6 or 7 different education authorities in an area of the UK the size of Yorkshire. I think there's 6 or 7 different types of schools. You know, it's madness. The latest big idea is a shared campus, where Sean and Billy go in the front door again and these go to their own classrooms. They share a dining room, they share it at different times. They use it at different times to share the gym, but they use it at different times. That's the future. That's what's seen to be the future of education.
And William in West Belfast. Morning, William.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead. Hey,
Stephen, I haven't been on for a few weeks because I've just been totally disillusioned with the whole situation. But the 30 or so this morning, Mick Nesbitt came on, and he criticised the support parties. He says, well, we'll deal with two, we'll deal with three. Who do you think he is? Paul Daniels? You know, then we'll have David Ford, the minister, coming on, and you ask him a question, has there progress been made? And he refused to answer. What about the citizens of Northern Ireland?
Well, he said he didn't know.
Of course he knows. He just does money on scene. And here, what about the citizens of, including...
How can he be in the talks and not know of his progress?
Well, exactly, Stephen, you know. But you bring them on and you're...
Unless the talks are happening between the two big parties. Unless that's where the money is.
That's where it was coming to you. That's what's happening to you. But for a minister not to know what's going on, and if they're refusing to answer on your programme, to let people like me and the citizens of Northern Ireland know what's going on, it's a shambles up there. But every week's the same. They're talking, nobody knows what's going on.
Well, he did say, to be fair to him, I'm just trying to remember now exactly what he said, but he did say to him, say to me that there was progress made on the historical inquiry stuff, didn't he? But there hadn't been progress made on welfare reform. So he did try to expand, yeah, to be fair to him.
I'm sure your listeners are none the wiser, this morning, because we need to know, the people of Northern Ireland need to know, Stephen.
He's not going to tell you. He said it's confidential.
Why bring him on? Bring somebody else on who's prepared to answer and give you a straight answer. Why bring him on? This happens all the time in your show. They won't give you a straight answer, Stephen. And also, if you're...
Can you not sense, William? Can you not sense things heating up between Nesbitt and Robinson? Can you not see this yesterday, the war at words heating up? And where's that going to go to next? You know, is Robinson going to really take Mike Nesbitt on now? Some commentators are saying that Nesbitt has a wind behind his sails over recent weeks. Out comes Robinson yesterday to fight back. Clearly talking about Mike Nesbitt, but not naming him. Clearly talking about Mike Nesbitt sniping.
It's party. UUP does not matter up in Stormont. When it comes to any major votes, the two main parties, with or without Mick Nesbitt and the UUP, will be left out.
Well, Seamus Close, morning to you, Seamus.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, I'm Brian Rowan. Morning, Brian.
Yeah.
Good morning. You know, our last caller there, William, saying that the Ulster Unionist Party don't matter. But Seamus, don't you think the DUP, you can feel them reacting to Mike Nesbitt? Has Nesbitt wobbled Peter Robinson?
Well, he certainly has rattled him. There's no question about that. In my opinion, Nesbitt wrong-footed Robinson over the whole in-out situation, and we had the Ulster Unionists resign. Robinson steps aside. Then you had the whole in-out of the various ministers. So he gained a march on him there. And remember, never ever forget that the bottom line to all this are votes, dear man, votes. There will be, if they get an agreement, there will be an election. Even if they don't get an agreement immediately, there will probably be an election. If not now or within the next couple of months, it'll be next May. So there is a battle royal going on within unionism to see who can win more seats or at least gain more seats from Mike Nesbitt's point of view. They're at a very low figure at the moment. They want to increase that. They got a certain amount of success in the Westminster election. They want to build upon that. So Robinson is going to be attacking the Ulster Unionist Party because it's the Ulster Unionist Party who are likely to take votes from the Democratic Unionist Party. So there is the bottom line. But with regard to the talks, don't forget that we had a Stormont House agreement. So a number of things had already been agreed. And why did it fail? It failed on the issue of the budget and welfare reform.
And so, Brian Rowan, we still have this issue. If we look at welfare reform, mm-hmm. We still have this issue that Sinn Féin gave a red line undertaking to their electorate mm-hmm. That not one person would be affected. They would protect every single person in this country with on benefits that were under Stormont's control. And that's nothing to do with tax credits, by the way, which Peter Robinson floated in yesterday.
And none of us know whether any of that is going to be possible, Stephen. I think what we heard at the top of the programme today, and I was there and heard it all yesterday, was the public play of these talks, what you described as a day of having a go. Peter Robinson's references to whingers and wreckers and political snipers and Mike Nesbitt returning the serve, talking about... Martin and Peter back in each other's arms politically and busting to do a side deal at Stormont Castle. And what we might be looking at there, Stephen, in those exchanges yesterday is the preparing of the ground for some deal or some agreement or some progress if it can be made. And Peter Robinson making it clear that whether the Ulster Unionists are in the tent or outside the tent when it comes to the point of that deal, if the deal is right, I certainly got the impression that what he was saying was that he was going to do it. And, you know, there was an important context that he set before he made those other comments yesterday. He talked about, you know, the people of Northern Ireland. It is in the interest of the people of Northern Ireland that we have peace and stability. He talked about the process of peacemaking is never straightforward or smooth, that peace can be very messy and it can be very dangerous territory. So what he was saying was that there has been too much that has been achieved to throw it away. So I think the other important point that he made yesterday was that he's not interested in the type of heads of agreement, Stormont House deal that we were talking about this time a year ago. This time he's saying he wants this done in detail. And of course, when you get down into detail, Stephen, you get down into the difficulty of all of this. But he set it out under four headings: welfare reform and tax credits, the wider issues of finance and budgets, paramilitarism, and the other Stormont House issues.
And let's walk through those. But on welfare reform, Brian and Seamus, here's the bottom line, and Sinn Féin know it. Look, if they get some type of movement on tax credits, because they have now introduced this into the debate. Robinson has introduced this into the public discussion yesterday. Every journalist in the country is going to look at the promises that Sinn Féin, that they kick this whole welfare reform dispute off, Seamus Close. Everybody's going to look at the promises that Sinn Féin gave to their electorate on benefit cuts in Northern Ireland and say, have they stuck to it?
Yeah,
and they stuck to their promise. And it's nothing to do with tax. No matter whether Robertson tries to introduce tax credits yesterday or not, it's nothing to do with tax credits. The promises that Sinn Féin made that kicked this dispute off, that kicked the whole argument down the path.
Yes, welfare reform and the failure to get a budget is what created this whole crisis back March, April. But remember that whenever you're talking about money in Stormont, you're looking at an overall package, the subvention that comes from the United Kingdom government. Now, within that, Northern Ireland politicians have their own autonomy to deal with. That's why the payments on welfare are greater here than they are in the rest of the United Kingdom. The government have said you can't continue to do that, you'll be paying penalties. But if, for example, the government gave more money into legacy issues, there's nothing to prevent, in theory, the Stormont politicians moving some of that money into welfare to enable those levels of welfare payments to continue, bearing in mind the various concessions they got in the last talks. And I can see that happening, and I can see the whole tax credit being used as a veil to cover up some additional money coming into Northern Ireland if the tax credit issue is finally agreed.
And
we know that the Lords threw it out. But you also have to remember that Robinson needs some sort of a deal, because failure to reach a deal now will lead to an election. And if there's an election was held tomorrow, I have absolutely no doubt that the Ulster Unionists would increase and the DUP would fall in some vote.
And there's also speculation, Brian Rowan, that if Peter Robinson does get a deal in some form, he will start his exit strategy.
That's been around the place and talked about around the place for a while. Stephen, I wish we'd a pound for every time we discussed that type of speculation. I think there's an important point here, Stephen. This deal is not going to be settled between the five parties and the Secretary of State. And there's been a bit of chat now over the last couple of days, some talk that David Cameron might come. It wasn't said with any certainty, but we all know that for David Cameron to get involved, either here or in London, there will have to be some reason or some purpose for such involvement. In other words, if there is some chance of getting something over the line. So what we're looking at here, I would say, in the next 7 to 10 days, is a new financial pitch being made, for more money. That's going to involve both the Prime Minister, David Cameron. It's going to involve the Chancellor, George Osborne. And without more money, this deal isn't going to be done, Stephen. I think if the money issue is not settled, then those other big issues in that frame are not going to be settled either. But there is, and this became...
Even if there were to be more money,
yeah,
on parades, the past,
yes, of
flags,
course. Yes.
Are we seriously saying that it's even feasible for them to sort that out in 10 days? Or is it going to be, once again, plans announced to set up new bodies and all of those tricky decisions kick down the road once again? Well, they're going to set up a body. Where have we heard that before?
Well, let's just say a couple of things. That a political strategy at Stormont will not dismantle what remains of the IRA and Loyalist structures. The Loyalists will make those decisions, and those who are part of the remaining IRA structures will make those decisions. So you can put whatever you like on paper about that at Stormont. That is not going to sort out the question of paramilitary structures. Now, on the past, Stephen, and I heard David Ford saying to you that they've made some progress on the Historical Investigations Unit. There is a battle going on within those talks over draft legislation, which is aimed at setting up the Historical Investigations Unit and the Independent Commission for Information Retrieval. There was a very terse exchange at the round table session of the talks yesterday, involving Tom Elliott, Jonathan Bell, and Sinn Féin. There is an argument in there that the draft legislation, this is the Sinn Féin argument, that the draft legislation is about writing a national security veto into this past process. In other words, it's about concealing rather than releasing information. Gerry Kelly saying very publicly last night at Stormont that in its current form, Sinn Féin will not support that legislation. He says there is a chance to fix it, but is any government going to give up that national security veto, Stephen? And this is what I'm saying to you, that we might have these headings, but when you get down into the detail of a lot of these issues, they are going to be very difficult to resolve. But I think what we've seen in the last week, we've got the timetable now very clearly set out for us. It is set within a number of days. Teresa Villiers saying last night that next week could be crucial to the success or failure of this process.
Okay.
We've had a change of tone, Stephen, but to suggest that there is a deal on the table and this done and dusted. There is a clear effort to get something over the line, and let's see in 7 days or 10 days
okay.
How much of this can be got over the line.
Bran, thank you. Seamus, thank you. Here's